Dear listeners, Sairam from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet. And this month of August has been really lively and lovely, and there is so much more to come. Just a couple of days ago, we had the joyous festival of Krishna Janmashtami in Prashantinilam. It was a two-day celebration, August 17th and 18th. And like always, it was marked with song and dance and procession of cows, vibrant colors, sublime music, and so much more joy. That's a glimpse of the Krishna Janmashtami celebrations. And just before Krishna Janmashtami, we had the Independence Day celebration in the Sai Kulwanthal, August 15th, when the students from the college staged a moving drama. And now, in a week from today, we are going to witness one of the most imaginatively colorful and creatively beautiful festivals of Prashantinilam, the power-packed, color-packed, energy-packed festival of Ganesh Chaturthi. Lord Ganesha, one of the most adorable and fascinating facets of the divine. And even as all this is happening in this holy jolly hamlet, there is something that happened recently which has only added to the happy atmosphere of this divine town. And it was a news item in a national newspaper which told the world that the Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School in Prashantinilam is among the top 10 schools of India. At an average aggregate of 90.0%, it is the 8th best school in this entire country, which has over 14,500 CBSE affiliated schools. CBSE stands for Central Board of Secondary Education, which is a board for public and private schools under the Union Government of India. And the Sai School in Prashantinilam is one of the best in the country, which the government has now acknowledged. In fact, the school has been performing at high standards for so many years now, after it was started by Bhagwan way back in 1981. But perhaps this is the first time that the government of India has taken notice of its stellar performance. And it indeed is such a heartening moment for everyone here and for everyone who's connected with the Sai institutions. And I know a lot of credit has to go to the teachers, the dedicated instruments of Bhagwan, many of whom stay in the hostel itself. They live with the students and look after them as their own father or mother would look after their children, these children. And I was very eager to know from these teachers, you know, how it felt for them when they heard this news, this happy news. Another day, I just walked into the hostel and asked one of the teachers, Mr. Venkateshwarlu, about this. Tell me, sir, when you heard this, what did it mean to you? And this is what he shared.
Sairam, we were very excited, we were very happy, and we were very grateful to Bhagwan, because we were very sure that it was only Swami who has given this result. To go back a bit, in the month of February, it so happened that this year, I mean, the last academic year was very, very hectic. Students had too many activities to take part. As a result, when the examinations were drawing closer, they were tensed. But they do not know whom with they can share their feelings. And Swami being everything for us here, I am sure many of them were praying very intensely to Bhagwan. When Swami was physically there, he used to give a lot of boost, talking to them, interacting them, assuring them that he will take care, he is there with them. Now, when Swami's physical form is not there, Swami does it in a very different way, but still, he makes us feel that he is there very much with us, and he is taking care of everything here. We have put up a program, gratitude program we call it, on 20th of February. At the end of the program, it has been a practice that Principal Sir used to take the admit cards. And when Swami was physically there, there were occasions when Swami personally distributed each and every admit card to the boy, giving him Padnamaskar, blessing him profusely. And later on, there were occasions when Swami used to bless and ask Principal to distribute. And now, when we don't have physical Swami, Sir takes the admit cards and places at Swami's feet, and after prayer he takes it. So same way, that particular evening, he took the admit cards. It was a big file. The reason being, it had admit cards of 12th as well as 10th standard students, almost of 250 students. So it was a big file, and took it home and placed it at Swami's feet at home. And he thought that he will bring it the next day morning and distribute it to students on 21st of February. Somehow he forgot to bring it. Suddenly in the afternoon he gets a call from home saying that he has placed something at the altar and there is some vibhuti appeared on that. He was very excited, went and saw, and then he thought, there is no hurry to distribute the admit card as the examinations are going to commence from 1st of March. So he thought, let me leave it and let us see what happens. As the days passed, the amount of vibhuti which gathered on those admit cards kept increasing like a big mound. And finally, on 27th, 28th happened to be the Shivratri, on 27th, he thought that he should bring it and distribute it to students. And when he asked some teachers to come down to his residence and pick up the whole thing as it is so that children can also witness and feel confident that Swami has blessed them profusely, he wanted teachers to come and pick up the whole thing, and we went and got it and placed it in the school prayer hall for everybody to see the extraordinary blessing which Swami has showered on students. And then he asks teachers to put that vibhuti in small packets which can be given to students. When we were about to do that, to our surprise, we found that there were small rudrakshas in that vibhuti. We were very excited, but we were not sure how many they will be. So he instructed that along with every vibhuti packet, one rudraksha can be placed and let us see how many boys can receive it. So it was done and it was enough for everybody. And boys were so very happy receiving Swami's vibhuti along with that the rudraksha. After that, they were very confident to face the examination because such thing has not happened in last several years. And this was a direct proof that Swami was with them. Swami has done it like a very loving mother, because children can express their feelings only with Swami. I am sure they were all praying very intensely that they were not confident to face the board examination, and now Swami has given them confidence. With that confidence, they wrote the examination. The second part of this story is that the results came out very well. And I will not feel ashamed to say that the top ranks were all girls. So we were very happy about it. And in the month of June, we have faculty meeting, and in that we generally decide about the schedule of the whole year. When we were discussing, I congratulated the teachers from primary wing, those who guide the girl students, those who teach the girl students. I congratulated them for their performance. And then I asked, what is the secret that so many students could excel? First they said, we never expected. It was all Swami's grace. And then one teacher happened to say that this particular batch was very unique. I said, in what way? They said that we don't remember any occasion when we have to tell them that it is study hour time and you should sit and study. In fact, they all decided quite early in the academic year that they will get a good name for Swami. With that thought in mind, they were working very hard all through the year without anybody's inspiration. They were self-motivated and they kept working day in and day out. And toward the end, when the exams were drawing very close, all the time they were having only one phrase repeating again and again, that Swami, please write through us, Swami, please write through us. So the teacher happened to say that maybe that Swami has written, and that's how the results were so excellent. So when this news was conveyed to us somewhere on 12th of July, this meeting took place in the month of June. After 15 days, we received this particular news that our school has come in first 8 top schools of the country. We were very happy about it, but a thought was lingering in my mind that I was feeling that if Swami has written the examination through students, then the school should be first. Why it is 8th? I kept thinking about it for quite some time, and then suddenly a thought came to me that that was the prayer of the girl students. So since they have prayed so intensely, let me calculate their average. Our school average was 90.02. As a result, we were 8th. The All India school rank, which stood first, was 91.02. When I calculated only the girl students' average, it was 94.3.
Wow, that's amazing.
It proves that it was Swami who wrote the examination. So the whole credit goes to Bhagwan, that he was there. When I reflected upon this particular thing, I was thinking, what a wonderful example these students have set. We all talk about Swami working through us, but they have really shown that through prayers, anything can be achieved in the world, and they have done it. I wholeheartedly feel that apart from the efforts of teachers who have really slogged out for the best results, it is the students' prayers and most importantly Bhagwan's extraordinary grace which was responsible for this entire thing. On behalf of all the teachers, we bow down in reverence and gratitude for the special blessings which he has showered on all of us.
So that is what Mr. Venkateshwarlu told me, and he has been there with the school and living in the hostel with the boys for nearly 3 decades now. And there are so many like him in the hostel, so many of these teachers who have been such tremendous source of inspiration, tremendous source of inspiration for the kind of life that they have led, they continue to lead, and the way they have instilled the most powerful virtue of love for God in the hearts of hundreds of students year after year. The way they have equipped these students with the strength of the mind and the discipline of the body to take on higher challenges of life. Of course, it is Swami who is making all this happen covertly and overtly. And one interesting thing that happened just a few days ago is about 30 students from one of these very senior batches who had graduated from the school 25 years ago had assembled in Prashant and Liam to offer their gratitude to Swami as well as to convey their deep love, regard and respects to all these teachers and also to spend some quality time with the current students. And so we had this group of grateful alumni from the batch of 1989 who were in Prashantanilayam this Sunday, August 17, 2014, and I had the opportunity of catching up with at least three of them. And we had a lovely 90-minute conversation wherein they reminisced about their time with Bhagwan in those days, in the early 90s, and the lessons that they learned spending time with Bhagwan, observing Bhagwan, and the times when they spent hours in the mandir, and how Bhagwan used to come into their classrooms and guide and inquire about every facet of their life, and how also they were trained and tutored by these dedicated teachers, how it was for them finally when they had to leave the school, and what is it that they still carry with them in their hearts, and how has being a Sai student made a difference in their lives. So it was indeed a very enriching conversation, and what I am going to do now is play for you the first part of this discussion tonight as you listen to this last segment of Live Thursday broadcast from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and today we discuss the stellar heights of the Sai School in Prashantanilayam, Reflections of Sai School Alumni. And just I had mentioned, you're going to listen to the first part of this discussion that I had with these three former students of Sri Sathya Sai High Secondary School, Prashantanilayam, Jogendra Kar, who is currently Colonel Jogendra Kar. He's a colonel in the Indian Navy. The second is Surendra Patnaik, who is now is Dr. Surendra Patnaik, an orthopedic surgeon serving in the United Kingdom. And the third is Mr. Sai Kapoor, who is a successful businessman in Kolkata. And as I said, all of them belong to the batch of 1989. So, here is what we discussed. Enjoy this first part. Sairam brothers, Sai Kapoor, Yogeshwar Kar, and Brother Surendra Patnaik, a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sairam,
and thank you.
So it's really beautiful that you had this idea to come back to the school after 25 years. You belong to the batch of 1989, and just this feeling of connecting with the school and spending some time with the current students and the teachers, connecting to Prashantanilayam, connecting to this divine abode of supreme peace. It's really so beautiful, and I'm so happy that I was able to get hold of you, and we are spending some time now in the studio. So before we move on to the time that you spent in the school and how was it, I'm really very curious to know, how did it happen that you became a student, and what were some of those indelible memories of being a Sai student, Brother Jogeshwarkar?
It was way back in 1981. I remember vividly. Actually, my father, he came with my younger brother to put him in, and the fifth standard had just opened. I didn't know English then, being from Oriya Medium School. The paper was in English. Mm-hmm. I passed the maths. And at that time, Swami, I remember, Swami used to take the students, those which had chosen. And luckily, I was one of the few who were selected to be his and continued under his guidance. And with my friends, with the teachers, it was hardly, I remember, maximum 2 or 3 months, picked up English. Mm-hmm. And the life has been, whatever has been taught then, it has been continuing since.
So, I mean, you joined the school in 1982, you were sharing with me. So that was the very, very initial years of the school. The school started in 1981, and you were the first batch of class 5th who joined. So how was it being part of the school in the very first years, and what are your some of those memorable moments?
Yes, initially when 1981, when the school started, it was up to standard 3. Then the second year it increased to 5th standard, and average I think around 30 odd, that is boys and come girls in each of the classes, that amounted to around 150.
Mm-hmm.
The corridor on the right, if all the students will remember, that was the only classes.
Mm-hmm.
The boys dormitory was on the first stairs and the girls on the second stairs. And every Thursday and Sunday, we used to come to our parent, the Lord Sai. I remember very vividly, he distributed each one of the students that time our school dresses with number written on each of those dresses.
Mm-hmm.
The blue and the knickers that we wore. The pink dresses that we continued for nearly 2 to 2.5 years, that is in a night dress with number staged. He called each one of us in the darshan time, and each one of us were showered with those blessings. And back in the school, with the same headmistress, Munikol, the Prema aunty who have been teaching now the products, thousands of us who are now in all across in various parts of the world. And those are the times. And I remember Swami used to come in a Fiat, blue Fiat driven by Kasturi uncle. Every second or third day he would land up there. I remember an incident when our English teacher Sukanya Ma'am was teaching us. Swami came to the door. He put his finger on his lips and he indicated to us, don't let that, because teacher was facing the blackboard.
Okay.
He
don't
wanted
let
to
her know.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wanted to hear what is the teacher teaching rightly.
Okay.
Then we were whether to look at Swami or at the board. And those then he came in. Sometimes he corrected the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Corrected the teacher there and then.
Mm-hmm.
I remember an incident. I think Swami had hurt his feet. Then he opened. We asked Swami how it was hurt, and I think he had slipped in the bathroom and those bandages tied. So he sat down in one of the desks.
Mm-hmm.
He showed us and he told us how he had got hurt.
Oh.
But he told all this is Maya.
Mm-hmm.
It continues, and I have to take some devotees, something worse, I have taken it on myself.
Mm-hmm.
Then that time, Kasturi uncle, he used to come on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
He used to sit in the lobby, and his style of telling those incidents in form of stories, I remember his Bikati Kutan.
Mm-hmm.
That was a story I still remember. A dog, faithful dog.
Right. Tell the story. What do you remember of the story?
Still, it is about a faithful dog, how it followed Swami. It is there in Chinnakatha.
Okay.
So, being a dog, how it laid down his
life.
For the Lord Sai.
Mm-hmm.
How it followed from Swami when it was small.
Mm-hmm.
And every rooting on of Sai. And when he laid down his life also, he was next to the
Lord. Amazing.
Yes. And that's it.
So when you go down the memory lane, I think as all of you sit together and talk, there's so many memories that would just keep surfacing again and again. Isn't it, Brother Surendra?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely right. Because initially how I remember, I was also from Orissa and my father was a devotee of Swami. And he had it in his mind that he is going to, despite a lot of resistance, I was the last kid of 7 children.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted me to study in Ooty and he had heard about it. So with all the hardships, he had put me there and he prepared me for the exams. There was an entrance, as you're aware. And once we went in the morning, I remember it was chilly time because Ooty was not an atmosphere we were all familiar with. So we had an entrance in the morning and the results came out. And in the later part of the day, correct me if I'm wrong, that's how it used to be, I think. And when we saw the results, initially we were scanning the results and it didn't seem like my name was there. So I said, oh, okay, Papa, I didn't get it, Papa. And but then suddenly he saw my name was somewhere right in the top because we were looking at the bottom part of it. So he's like, oh, no, your name is definitely there. And then I started playing in the play, things like that. And just keeping an eye on my father's footwear because he had kept it. And once I came back, he had gone. So he basically left me as a 6 or 7 year old. He had to leave. He had made his return tickets as a single person. Mm-hmm. So he had so much faith in Swami that I am going to join in his school. Or probably he had decided even if he doesn't join, I'll leave him there and go. He is not there to confirm that, but because he had made a single ticket to go back. He was
absolutely sure.
Means that's the faith I think he had. Mm. And that was, I think, what was destined for me.
Mm.
Because I remember him telling sometime, he said that, Jadi milna tha da, I think I would have left him. Because when I was playing around, once we knew, that didn't happen though, maybe once we were playing. Because I used to come and check with him and just, he was going around somewhere. I used to see his footwear outside.
Mm.
There were like trees which were cut like a wall. You know, if you went up to Uti,
yes,
the shrubs were just sort of cuts. And at one place I remember he had kept his slippers. So I used to be playing around in those things because we were not maybe exposed. And as children we always like to play.
Yeah.
And I used to come and watch the slippers. So 3-4 times I looked and went on playing. And another time I came, maybe when I was tired and finished, couldn't play anymore, I suppose, and my father is not there.
Oh.
So, and then, you know, and after that, the amount of nurturing and the care which this teacher, because it was a very difficult moment, you know, even as children, suddenly parent is gone.
Yes.
You are suddenly left into a dormitory with a double bed and you are wetting the bed in the night, you don't know what to do, you know, there's nobody to cry to or we do cry, but our teachers used to then listen. And then that is the way from those sort of things. The teachers, they have tried so hard to, it was not easy to pacify so many children as well. You know, like me, there were so many other children. So they have tried so hard to give us that love, not to feel the absence of our parents. And you know, the period, initial period of getting us into that thing is very, very commendable, very commendable. Filled with great gratitude to the teachers at that time.
And Swami also used to visit the Uti school.
Swami
in
also,
those days,
right? Yes, Swami also did visit on a few occasions. And what I can remember from those visits was, because it was a small group of children, I cannot recollect the number of children in each class. So there were like 5 classes. And Swami used to come. There were a few devotees who had come with him. And Swami is more or less used to spend the whole day with the children. So we used to get up in the morning for prayer. He will have breakfast in our presence. Then we all will go to classes as normal. And he will obviously be meeting other people. But in between, he will come into all of the classes personally and see things. Then there will be lunch with Swami again. Again, the classes will go on. And eventually, evening bhajan. So it was an opportunity where we, as children, had Swami for the whole day with us.
So he literally lived with you?
He literally lived with us that day, from what I can remember. I'm pretty sure at that time, he obviously made time for other devotees. But we felt that Swami was within the campus, within that building, for the whole of the day. And it used to culminate with dinner and bhajan. So it was memorable, quite memorable, the times there as tiny tots.
Mm. Maybe at that point in time, we didn't realize what a blessing.
We all loved him, but we didn't realize what an unique...
But what you said, you all loved him, but why did you love him?
I think that was a sort of thing which we imbibed from our parents.
Mm-hmm.
I think our parents loved him so much and adored him so much. Mm-hmm. We knew that he was the person taking care of us.
Mm-hmm.
He had taken on the mantle of being our human parents.
At a physical level?
At a physical level. On a divine platform, he always was.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on a physical platform, at such a tender age, to be giving us the care and... if not directly personally, but to oversee other teachers and
yes,
passing it on through. It's not physically possible for him to,
yes,
though he had given everybody unique opportunities. Like I remember one place where we had the photograph and there was a Polaroid camera in those days. And all of the whole school in a classic uniform, we were standing one by one, I think by our height or roll numbers. And everybody one by one went to Swami. Swami had the patience to stay the whole day in the sunlight, because in the sunlight, and he took the photos putting his gracious arm around our shoulders.
Wow.
And then we used to be able to see the Polaroid camera, have the photo.
He was like a friend.
He sort of behaved with us like our friends there. And at that stage, we loved him, but we didn't realize the uniqueness of what we were experiencing.
Mm. But it's a wonderful way of starting that relationship with God, right?
Absolutely.
It's not out of fear. It's not like, you know, you do this, otherwise God will get angry with you. You do this, otherwise, you know, God is going to punish you. You didn't have that kind of an introduction to God. You just started off very naturally loving Him.
Very naturally loving Him. And we must be grateful to our parents for
Yeah, and showing us that path, right?
Showing us that path and putting us in the path. There was no question of not following the path, I suppose.
Yes, absolutely.
I think, you know, my father had just decided that he is going to go in that path.
I think he had that much absolute faith. He wanted
That is the sort of... And I remember him telling, I cannot verify with my father now, but I remember him telling in his life that I had decided that I will leave him there and come across.
Bhagwan says that... No, it is the mother that shows the father, and it is the father that takes it to the guru. And the guru takes it to the God. But in our case, we had the guru and God, and mother and father, everybody
with us.
So, your father did play that role of leaving you at the right moment in his life.
Without any shadow of doubt, yes.
Amazing. So, Brother Sai Kapoor, tell us your story.
Well, I was in class 4 in St. Xavier's in Calcutta. One of the most difficult schools to get admission in. And about a month into class 4, one fine day, my father told me that we are leaving for Puttaparthi. So we just came to school and Muni aunty interviewed me for class 4. And I guess my answers were also correct. So instead of putting me in class 4, I was directly admitted into class 5.
Okay.
And Swami actually had told my father to Sai ko lao idhar, school mein.
Oh, okay.
So I got direct admission into class 5. And initially I was very homesick, as you can understand, because my father just, I got admitted and the next day and he just came to meet me and without even, you know, without the customary goodbyes or anything, he knew he's putting me in the right place or whatever and he just left.
Mm-hmm.
And the interactions that we had with Swami in primary school were amazing. I mean, like Jogeshwar said, at least once or twice a week he used to, after morning darshans, he used to just drive in, enter our class, talk to us. Sometimes ask us some questions and you could see the fear on the teacher as well as Muni aunty's face, because if we went wrong with the answers, nothing would happen to us because he would be all smiles with us, but I think they would be getting it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then Swami would get a new car, you know, I still remember there was a brown color Cadillac that was gifted to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So, Swami came in the Cadillac and he was so excited. Naya Cadillac aya, chalo. And then we all went, you know, we took parikrama of the car.
Oh,
and then he was telling us.
Swami brought the car to the school.
Absolutely. Yes. New car. He got the brown Cadillac.
Like your father would like to show.
Yeah, and absolutely. That excitement was palpable. That is so clear in my mind. It would be something like maybe 32 years back.
Mm-hmm.
But he was actually showing us the car and we being in class 5, I think we were the ones, we were always the senior students, okay? Because when we were in class 5, there was no class 6. Yeah. When we went to class 6, there was no class 7.
So you're always the senior.
Till class 7, at least. So once you got into the higher secondary school, then there was a batch ahead of us.
Yeah.
So we've had amazing times with Swami.
So how was that moment? Yeah, tell us more about that moment of seeing that new car with Swami.
Even when Swami got the Rolls Royce,
mm-hmm.
I remember Swami getting the Rolls Royce also. And
he'd bring it to the primary school.
He would bring it to the primary school and we would get a chance to see the car first hand, being explained being showed by him as, and he would be, you know, this is this, this is that, and he would be very excited.
All doors, everything open.
All doors open, and then yeah.
You would be so proud to show the.
Yeah, you know, like it's your father's got a new toy, and he's just. When somebody would donate some lots of gifts and toys or something, so it would be like the whole bunch would just straight away come to primary school.
Primary school. So many varieties of chocolates. You know,
chocolates
those days, especially.
The elephant slide you see.
Yeah.
Which it was constructed during that time, and we remember vividly Swami going up the slide.
Himself?
Yeah,
himself.
He
went down?
No, he came down the stairs.
He came down, he went up, then
he stood there.
He stood there.
Okay.
All of us just surrounded.
There is still a photograph as we enter the primary school with our batch in the black and white.
There are two slides, you see. There's one elephant and there's one multi... There's a different, there's a round kind of a slide.
Yeah.
Swami went up both the slides by the stairs and then he stood there and we all posed, you know, below the slide. And then once a couple of pics are taken and all that and then he came down. So we've had unthinkable times. I remember we were sitting in a group and he just walks in between. There is no, you know, usually what happens, there is a passage in between for Swami to walk. But he won't use that passage. He would walk in between us. And if somebody would cough, he would just with a wave of his hand give him a mishri or something to so that
candy.
The cough, yeah, a candy. Yeah.
And during construction of each of this, he used to make himself be available at the site and anything, the steps are not correct, if the height of the stairs are not okay, he used to modify it then and there, keeping the safety of the children.
Oh.
So he was the director of all these structures that have been created.
For children to play.
Yes.
Hmm. Oh, he was the one who directed.
Yes,
he would come and see whether they've been made properly, and he used to take care of the minutest details. You know, he used to take time out, and it was amazing.
The numerous visits.
It's difficult to think how Swami had that much time.
Numerous visits that he used to
means
make.
In the sense, when the stadium was built, he made that much time. He didn't, you know.
When we used to go for darshan, we always had a photograph in handy. Always a couple of them. The moment he comes, we'll just kneel ourselves and just show it to him. So he could, with love, Baba, he used to write on the... I remember, we didn't have much of pocket money at that time.
Mm.
So, you know, he used to get those pocket calendars for 50 paisa.
Mm.
Postcards. Yes. Small pocket calendar for 50 paisa we used to get them. I have 4 or 5 of those calendars autographed by Swami.
And if you forget a pen, you used to tell... Sometimes you forget all of a sudden that you don't have a pen and you're showing the postcard. Dunna pota, and you used to pick up from the next one.
From the next one, and then. And he used to, you know, when the autograph session was going on, we used to, one is done, and then the next one is ready. Some two will go and then we'll take out the second one. You know, it's just like...
It's a bonanza of chances.
Yeah.
I think the only imagery that comes to me is as a loving father and a mother. You know, he just wanted to give himself, he wanted you to feel one with him.
Yes, I vividly remember those Deepavali.
Yes.
When he used to start off, all the crackers was given to the children. And he used to stand there, he used to start off with that one full jadi.
Yes.
And it was there and then, and in front of him, we all burst crackers. In the,
yes. And he would delight, right?
I think he would light the first chain, the chain which will go for a bit long.
Mm.
And then the rest of it, he will just enjoy sitting there, all the other children.
When Swami used to distribute laddus, it would be like a fielding match. You know what he would do? He would push his hand towards the left and the laddu would go towards the right.
Yeah.
So we would have so much fun. Somebody trying to catch from there, somebody trying to catch from there. It's like such a...
Try to manipulate and deceive.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a personal interaction at that time. With such limited number of students and he's throwing laddus here and there. And
then as the children rushing on, when we came for darshan, boys used to sit on that veranda.
Yeah.
We were sitting initially to start with, so that Swami can go and to the lady's side and come. Then he used to give a direction, come in, that is with his arms.
Yeah.
And you could find the whole school boys
barging
in and sliding there in front of him.
And it was all sand, you know. The whole place was all sand. There was nothing. Nothing existed. It was all full sand.
Yes.
So initially we used to be sitting down, and the moment he used to give the instruction, we come. So we used to all rush because we all wanted to sit on the side because he'd walk from there. And the amount of dust that used to blow up. And who used to try to stop us, and Swami said, move, let them come.
Allow them to come. He loved being swamped by you all.
That was in the high secondary school, I remember, our warden.
Mm.
Because he was a disciplinarian, and as such, wardens have to be disciplined.
I think Mr. Nasimurthy,
Nasimurthy. Janardhan sir also, on times, used to reach in his cycle earlier than the boys could enter the only gate.
Mm.
So there again, sand was there.
Mm.
And once we entered the only gate, we used to spread out like an army. And
rush
was in and slide there. So that used to control. So Swami, like yesterday in his experience, Janardhan sir was explaining, Swami called him, no, don't block them. Go to the side, let them come.
He loved that, right? His father would love with the children.
There used to be just one gate, you know. Just one, not very broad also, I think. Just one. So once you squeeze through that, then you have all the space to take, you know. And then you sprint across.
And darshan on those times used to be, it was so much natural atmosphere. You would have sunset, you know, the darshan, because you would have rain, and then the devotees... We would be then scampering into the campus, everybody into the veranda to avoid rain. Swami will be there. And you know, when evening breeze, so if it was a hot day, and then you would have the evening breeze. So by the time bhajan started, Swami would come out during cooler times and go through the sand with sunlight. And you know, it was an absolute...
He would take he would take one round for the darshan, and maybe before the bhajan, before he entered the mandir, maybe he would take another half round. And then he would go and sit inside and...
Yes.
And that time the devotee used to be jealous, because sometimes he didn't go to them. He was amongst the students.
Okay. Yeah.
He was there here, and so we were the envy lot in the veranda and with the primary school or in the high secondary school.
Yes.
He wouldn't go out to the devotees.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
Before our board exams, we had been requesting for an interview, and he had called all the three sections, all the four sections, I think, and the maths, the bio, and the commerce, as well as HEP.
Arts.
Arts. And like Madhav, one of our friends was, you know, just discussing with us the other day that the moment we entered and we sat, and instead of asking us whether how are your studies going on, or, you know, telling us that I'm blessing you for your studies or whatever, the first question was, did you have breakfast? And I remember clearly that Mr. Venkatachalam was there with us. He's still the kitchen in charge.
Yes.
So, and then he tells Venkatachalam, oh, I'm not going to give them what, I don't know what you make them eat. And then he created a laddu, kind of a bundi,
huge
bundi, bundi laddu. And there was a friend of ours, Rahul Halalka, he was sitting just beside Swami Sweet. So, you know, he squeezed that laddu into bundi and he put it in his hand. And it was so warm that I think Rahul couldn't hold it, and he just transferred it to somebody else. And then Swami went distributing that to everybody.
Wow.
And
84 of us.
84 of us.
Phenomenal. Amazing.
Amazing. And somebody is pushing Swami from there, somebody is here, somebody on is this. You know, it's like, there's no formal, it was not that, you know, Swami is sitting, so you are scared, you're sitting 2 feet behind. Yeah. No, nothing of that sort. It was like, okay, Swami is there, we are there, it's a homely atmosphere.
I mean, how much more homely can it get?
How much homely can it get? I guess the...
Like, same, Madhav also reminded us, there was one of our batchmates, Krishna Rao.
Mm-hmm.
He had gone to the bathroom when we were called in for the interview.
Mm-hmm.
And once, that was a rule, when Swami's
interview door
is closed, no one walks in.
Yeah.
But like a father and son, and the bonding he had over years, he just walked in and Swami accepted it as like his son.
Mm.
And he was amongst us again.
Wow. And I think as Brother Surendra was mentioning, you know, the darshan of those times was... so much in the natural environment, in the elements, in the sense that, you know, you had no huge cyclone hall, so you had just the sands and you had the coconut trees, so you could
feel the evening cool breeze, because it used to be a hot, usually, you know, summer hot, and then it used to transform into a cool evening.
Yes.
And when Swami used to go, his robe used to, you know, slide across the sand.
And I remember people taking the sands with them.
Yes, everyone, because that was, that sand was like a precious
gift
that day. Yeah. So whenever, if somebody missed Pad Namaskar in the early stage, they used to be scampering to catch that dust which Swami has, because Swami's footprints will be there.
Yes.
So people used to scamper and pick up the sand.
Yeah.
And those sand, like children, as we used for playing that cross and zeros also. And there were times when Swami used to catch us during exams. I know you are playing here. Move inside the veranda and study there.
Oh my God.
And Pada Namaskaram was like, I mean, he'll just come and stand in between us, and then he'll wait. When everybody's touching his feet, somebody's pressing his feet, and then he'll, there was no...
And he used to walk very slowly, you know, you know, in the darshan line. He'll come back, he'll give the devotees darshan and finish with the darshan. And then it was just like something probably reminiscent of a Trayi session in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So he'll just come in the middle of the thing.
Where there is no passage for him to walk
through. There's no passage.
Intentionally he'll do that.
He'll intentionally do it. There's no passage. So then suddenly a passage will be created. And whoever I think is stronger to push out creates the passage.
So
it's like, and the passage is
and
created.
And once he's inside the passage, someone is touching his feet, and someone's giving those photos for the autograph and whatever for him to write, and somebody's handing letters, and then that he's interacting with, I think most of us, he knew us by names. You know, he knew us by name.
He's just giving himself completely.
Yes. Those were times like I was narrating an incident in school. We didn't have that high medicines available in our hometowns for all over the Indians. So he was our father, mother. I remember my mother was bedridden for a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Swami. I tried sitting in the first line, and our warden allowed us that. So 3 continuous days, I didn't get a chance.
Mm-hmm.
On the 4th day, I vividly remember I was in 9th standard. He went in. He didn't look at me. He went in inside the post-bhajan. He went inside. Then after 5 minutes, I was still waiting there while the boys were slowly, and he comes out again. I know your mother is unwell. He creates vibhuti, and the same thing that day, there was no courier. I posted it through an envelope back home, and by his grace, my mother was again on best self.
Wow.
And same was for all children who were there.
Yeah.
He used to joke with some, those who had, he would tell, you have done this in the terrace yesterday, you would pick up students, so his mother, father, everything.
Yes.
The experience that we've had in the hostel, I think has prepared us for our onward journeys.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have fans in the hostel when we were there.
Yeah.
There were no fans. There was electricity was there was a shortage of electricity, there was no generator, and I remember during rainy season, there used to be loads of snakes coming all around.
Oh.
I remember Mr. Sundarayya catching us a couple of times, you know, in the hostel premises, and then I remember there was once a snake entered one of the rooms, I think, C22 or something.
Dining hall also once.
Once the dining hall. Mm-hmm. And some of the boys, if they were privileged enough to get a table fan from their house, so at night we all used to adjust, you know, so that we could get some whiff of air from somewhere.
From the circulating fan.
Mm-hmm. So, now I think the boys have a lot of facilities and whatever.
And those open terraces,
the B floor terrace was a heavy hunting ground for sleeping in the night.
That is the terrace just above the dining hall.
Yes, yes.
So that was the best place to spend the night in open air and...
So, Brother Sai Kapoor, you mentioned that in some ways, the hostel was not an environment where you had all the material comforts.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in some sense, a challenging environment, challenging routine.
Absolutely.
Now, when you reflect on the way the hostel schedule was in that time and the different extracurricular and co-curricular activities that you were put to, what do you think, when you now reflect, the impact that it had on you then and now?
It made us realize that, you know, there is no work that is small. Because I remember once there was an eye camp organized in the stadium, and a lot of people from every walk of life, mainly from the lower walks of life, and they were given, there's a free eye camp, and the toilets were made where they had to, where these elderly people or whatever in the morning, the temporary toilets were made.
Okay.
And after the whole camp was over, we were supposed to clean up that area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine, we have even cleaned up the
night soil.
We have with our hands cleaned up when in life, and you can do that, you can do anything.
Yeah, adding to that, like when we were 5th and 6th standard, being the senior most class, we didn't have IRs and other things who were in the hostel, cleaning up the bathrooms.
Mm.
So all of us in the night used to pick up the broom and used to clean the bathrooms, because there were 1st standard boys who used to, dirtying the toilets.
They were not physically strong, or you know, like they were.
So that every one of us has a fresh toilet in the morning.
So did you complain at that time?
No, it was no teacher told.
Today Headmistress Aunty recollected that and told us.
Mm.
That you all boys.
Oh.
So today Headmistress Aunty actually told us and mentioned, because we were just amazed at the memory of the teachers. Mm. And about 20,000 students may have passed through there.
In last 30 years.
There were no hot waters. So
to remember such instances.
That shows their dedication.
That shows their remarkable dedication. It is not, because she was able to say, oh, I know you all used to go and clean the toilets for, and we didn't have to tell you
for the
next day.
We didn't have any of these ammas or anybody to pick up the plates and to wash the plates or anything of that sort. So we used to do, the entire cleaning was, we being the most seniors, the senior most batch, obviously we used to all pick up our own plates, wash our own plates at that time. And then the cleaning of the dining hall and all these duties were ours, okay. So we had
the sweeping of the dining hall and then, you know, everything. Clearing up the basin, because some of the food particles will be in the basins.
Rolling up the mats.
Once we've done stuff like that, even in today's life, being where each of us are, if that comes to that, it doesn't affect us. We could just go ahead and do it.
Even though you are today, Brother Sai Kapoor, a successful businessman, Yogeshwarkar is a colonel, and you have Surendra Patnaik, who is a successful orthopedic surgeon in UK. But given what you have gone through, I think you never feel, how can I do this, right? If you're asked to do a particular thing, you will never feel that, how can I do such thing or how can I do this thing?
Impossible.
You can do anything.
The lowliness of any work will not come to the mind.
From sewing up buttons.
Yes.
To any work.
Rolling chapatis.
Yeah. I was just mentioning to Mr. Venkatachalam that I was bragging to my wife the other day that I have rolled that many puris which you would not roll in your lifetime. Yeah, because being the senior was bad. We used to roll, one guy has like 5 or 6 puris, there would be like 600 people. So we'd be rolling like 2,000 puris in between the 7 or 8 of us. We had that machine. Now it's all automated, I think.
Yeah.
The machine used to just make it a bit flatter, but eventually we had to roll it with our hands, whatever shape came out of it. But because we did so many, we were able to even automatically rotate the chapatis as we were doing it.
Yeah.
So that was our expertise we were able to reach.
Amazing. So also on the sports fields that we have learnt, I remember it started on a mass scale. Mm. In the entire school and the entire university campus, it was all together in the first year, I think, way back in 1985. It was a PT show. the first time it started on a large scale.
Yes.
The march past.
Yes.
So I, being in the army, whatever, running in the morning, the PT Ustad used to come, there was Havaldar.
Yeah, he was from the army.
He was from the army. So he used to make the whole school run. And anyone coming late, again, whatever I have seen in the army, it was installed then and there, way back. Swami used to come and watch the rehearsals. The discipline which Abbu sir has instilled on us, picking up each thorns, partheniums used to call. Yeah. That was our SUPW period which you had.
Yeah. We were made into a line and then we would walk and keep picking up every thorn that we would see. And now you can see the size of the ground. I think now the stadium and all has come, so it becomes smaller. Although it was much bigger earlier.
There was an upper ground, upper tier and a lower tier.
Lower tier. Now it's all one.
Yeah. Now it's all one.
Oh, it's all one tier now, is it?
Yeah. There's no upper and lower
tier. So we would form a line and then slowly we used to walk and keep picking up thorns in that heat in the sun. But
and I'll tell you, each of us, I don't think stamping on a was anything abnormal. So we should stamp on it,
take it
down, take it out,
throw it
in a safe place and continue. So it was like a very normal practice.
Absolutely.
So those are like discipline.
One thought that comes to me is, you know, you're made to do so many things. Anyone else will think that how can they ask children to do all these things? But
they really do not realize it. It was not thrust or forced upon us.
Yes.
No one, I think, complained about it. It is not something like how can somebody ask you to do it. I think it was a job which we were, and that has instilled the thought of cleanliness and things like that. It has surely, at such an age group, if you are doing it, it will put it in the mind on the long term.
See, and most of the things you took it on your own to do it. It's somewhere that whole sense of trying to do something beyond your own self.
Absolutely.
I think got instilled, right, in some way. That you get an opportunity to do something for someone else, you should naturally go ahead and do it.
It was self-discipline. I will remember one instance, you know, obviously I had done some mistake in the class and I had a punishment. So I was locked in one of the classrooms in primary school as a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I do in the punishment? Because I still remember, it was 3A, if I can remember the class. It was in the front part. I don't know what class it is now in the primary school. And what I did is, there were 30 benches. So I went and arranged some of them, and they put the books. Some bigger book is lower and a smaller book is higher. You know, so I sort of arranged all the 30 desks, because we used to sit and we used to keep our books on our sides.
Mm-hmm.
So each one had a seat. It was not like a different. So one common, and we used to just put the... So I went, ended up in that punishment time to arrange all the books in that time. So teacher became very happy after she came to open it.
Hmm.
Saw the class in that condition. So punishment became a sort of a special reward after that.
Hmm.
So she was very happy. Once she came, she sort of completely forgave what mistake I did.
Hmm.
And was very happy with the reward. But that just...
That came so naturally.
Very naturally. Because I just thought, okay, I'll use the time in this thing to...
Wow.
It was a disappointment with the punishment. I don't know for what I was punished. I really can't remember.
Yeah. But at that age, to think of being in a situation of adversity, to just think of it in a positive manner... is something that environment is what gives us that perspective.
No
it?
Doubt about that.
They led by self-example also. I remember Abbu sir, then there was a Sanskrit teacher, Janardhan Charya. He was 8 years.
Hmm.
And we used to have extra classes post bhajan. That is at 6:30. We were given a time of 6:30. He used to walk down. That time there was no cycle, no motorcycle. And he was there in the class before us.
Hmm.
So if you see your guru, 80-year-old man, and he had the
full
Sanskrit
education.
Back of his mind. You ask, my friends will vouch, you ask any word in Sanskrit, he knew the meaning, and he taught us in the best
possible
without and in
utter
the moment.
Dedication.
So if your guru Abbu sir, he gives time, even post his retirement I met him, he gives you 6 o'clock, means he used to be there all year. 6 is 6, 5:59 you have to be there. So those all has helped me being in the army. And those young days, it was installed in us. So the self-discipline, if your guru is doing something, you also follow it up in the same way.
Yeah. With this punctuality, I'll just like to add one of my brothers, Madhav. He was in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm also in the UK now. And when we talk about, you know, let's meet at that time, we say, around that period I'll meet. And you know, around 6-ish we'll meet up.
Yeah.
So that's a common jargon which is used. 6-ish, you know, we'll meet up there. So Madhav had come to meet Abbu sir when he was there physically. And he said, Habu sir, during the bhajan, he met him and he said, I'll come. He said, okay sir, Saram sir, I'll come and meet you around Sikshish. Saram Madhav, no Sikshish, you are coming to my house at 6 o'clock. So there was, he did not die. So yeah. he sort of recollected, he said, there is no Sikshish, there is no ish or around or about in that sort of situation.
Yes.
So he said, we are meeting at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, you know, what an amazing thing. He was able to recollect that. He did not have a second time. Okay, you are late for a genuine reason. He's very kind. He will forgive you. That is not a problem.
Yeah.
But there is no scope of a broad time limit for him to come.
But it's instilled punctuality in us. Because I am totally punctual. If I have to be there somewhere at that time, I will be there at that time.
Wow. And you remember Professor Habu for that, right?
For the discipline as well as in every history. I think the most interesting subject and the class we used to all look forward was the history class, because along with history, and then we are sure to have one or two of his anecdotes, which would have some kind of a message, you know, very subtle. The message won't be put bluntly across, but the anecdote, when he would tell us some short story or something, very subtle, in a very subtle way, we would understand, okay, this is what...
Yes.
Yeah, this is what comes.
It was more of patriotic something, and his life example as when he was a student, something related to patriotism, most of the anecdotes which he related. Same also like Baba is all our guru. If darshan is to, if it is at 7:15 means, till then as such we were there by 7:10 and the door will open at 7:15. Or 7.
Yes.
If morning that Christmas rays, if it is at 4:15 means, that first floor door would be open by 4:15.
Sure.
And all of us.
Yes. Swami always, in those times, he came earlier.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
If darshan is at 3 o'clock, then you better be there minimum by 2:30.
2:30.
Yeah.
The Professor Habu, I think it would be very, very difficult to find teachers of that greatness.
Yes.
We were definitely lucky, the school. Whoever passed through his portals were very lucky to have been taught by him.
Yeah. He was not only a history teacher, but also a great principal of the school.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's like I do not recollect so much of the history he taught me. Mm. If you ask me, because eventually we didn't go on to take on that subject and things like that. So it's gone out of the mind. But
the
administrative skills, the principal...
leading by example.
Leading example, the discipline which he instilled, exemplary. That is absolutely exemplary. So that is the sort of thing, extremely fortunate to have had a teacher of his stature.
Today, if you look at the school, recently the government recognized the school to be one of the top schools in India. It's at number 8 among the top 10 schools in India. And of course, we always knew that the school is doing well. It was just that now the government probably formally recognized it.
Put a figure to it.
Yeah. And when I see all the other schools, there some of them are in the metro. The first 3 schools are in the metro in Chennai. And there is another school in Mumbai. And there's probably one school in Bangalore who also have this average aggregate of above 90. And, you know, highest aggregate of 97, 98. Where our school stands. The thought that came to me is, yes, our school is number 8 in this top 10, but I don't know and I don't think any of the other schools probably will be doing the number of extracurricular self-reliance and co-curricular activities that goes on here. Because the amount of time that the boys actually get to study is actually very limited. You know, they are all the time, your schedule is so tightly packed.
Yes.
To achieve this with a multifarious, tight schedule.
Value-based education.
Yeah, because students here do not only the school and the hostel, they are very much part of the month. Every festival, you are part of it. Everything in Prashantram, you are part of it.
Yeah, you are doing dramas in festivals, you are learning songs.
Yeah, today is Krishnastami.
You are learning Vedas and chanting Vedas, and you have a lot of other activities, and being, you know, involved in so many other activities, still coming 8th.
Yeah.
So you can imagine.
If you were only studying, I think you would have been definitely...
by a big way, I suppose.
Big way, yeah.
But the thing is, what I would think is, it is a very creditable thing to see our school in that league, you know, in that. But I think in the broader picture of things, even if theoretically we did not stand in those numbers, I think the class of our school, the overall education which we are getting, the preparedness of the students here should not doubt that we are missing out on something to be able to succeed in life in future. I do not think that doubt should
because
go.
Because here you are not getting only academically brilliant
coaching
student, but you are getting an integrated person.
Everywhere at some stage in life, you will be tested on those grounds.
Yes.
People have to understand that. Every one of us has gone through that phase where you will not be tested on only your intelligence grounds, because you will be tested through the other parameters as well.
Yeah. Your emotional quotient, your psychological quotient,
everything,
your spiritual quotient, everything
will be put to test somewhere or the other.
Yes.
Different ways.
You are an all-rounder in all fields of life.
Yes.
And
yes.
You are ready to face the world outside.
Yes.
Starting from physical, your mental,
yeah.
your studies.
Yes.
Anything in life is taught here. You get the practical lessons here.
Mm-hmm.
And regarding this, we also got this news. It's everywhere now. But if you take, this is, I think, only taking into account the marks that is obtained.
Yeah, only the academic.
Yes, yes. But if you take in everything, I think, starting from outside, the amount of money they spend in.
Oh,
so
yeah.
If you take that.
You just forgotten that.
Yes, yes. If you take that into account, our school will be number one.
And I think, irrespective of that, one of my brothers was just mentioning that if you just take away one of the subjects, I think if you take science and if you take away just the English marks, I think we are topping it.
Okay. Now, what occurred to me is really fantastic. Now, all the other schools doing is really great, but a school which is engaged in so many other things and which never believes in curtailing anything for the sake of just only academic excellence and yet achieving this level of...
Which goes to say
we have
how
a different
studying
class of education actually. The class of education here is totally way above.
There is no economic gains in the teachers when they are teaching.
Yeah.
It is a selfless teaching they are doing. They are trying to do it for their dedication to Swami. So, you know, that education to impart that mind which
teaches... It's from the heart.
It is from the heart. So, I think... We cannot eventually beat that teaching system.
I think the right word he used was selflessness. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because the teacher, say Vednayan sir is teaching us subject, Janardhan sir is teaching us, Asai sir is teaching us. They are not saying that, okay, if I teach 50 students, I am going to earn that much money. Or if I take that extra class in the evening, I will be richer by 5,000 rupees. They do not have any gains personally to them. If at all they are giving their valuable family time or something out for our opinion without any gains.
Yes.
It's a selfless education which has been given.
Yes.
And I think we cannot put any price tag on that.
Yes.
To add to it, like one of the teachers during our recent meeting which we had, most of the teachers have spent starting from the young age and till now. The worldly family which is there outside, like each other, which is not there.
Yeah.
He stated, you are my children.
Yeah.
And
for them,
we are their direct descendants and we are their products.
Yes.
So that's how that attachment has grown over years.
And which place in the world will you have that vocabulary?
Personal attachment.
Because one of our friends had come with his children and this teacher, he said, send my grandchildren here. You know, then that, just saying that line, Mishra sir, he just said, send my grandchildren
Now
here.
I have got my children and my grandchildren. So that was so touching because
it
just came out of his heart. You know, he said, oh, I've got my children and my grandchildren as well. Come. We were wanting a group photograph.
Right.
So extempore, it just came out of his mouth. Oh, my grandchildren are also here. Some of my grandchildren are here. Where will you find this?
Amazing. So that was the first part of the discussion with Sai School alumni from the batch of 1989. I'm Timiru Sai's Bishu and I was talking to three brothers. Brother Jogendra Kaur, who is a colonel in Indian Navy, Surendra Patnaik, who is an orthopedic surgeon in United Kingdom, and Brother Sai Kapoor, who today is a businessman in the state of West Bengal, in Kolkata. And in the next part of this discussion, each of them go on to share how being a Sai student and being a recipient of this unique system of education in Prashant Nilayam has made them so different, how it has made them very special professionals, how it has made them very unique individuals and how they are making a difference in the lives of people around them in their own ways, in their own small and big ways. And that is going to be a very enlightening session. And you know, whenever we listen to this, it gives us so much hope, it gives us so much joy, and it gives us so much to look forward to about the world that we are going to witness, that we are creating every moment, that Bhagwan's messengers of love are constantly working in fulfilling his mission. Earlier in this program, I played for you what Mr. Venkateshwar Lu, a hostel teacher, felt when he heard the news of the school getting recognized as the 8th best in this country of over 14,500 schools. And that day, as I was talking to him, before I took leave of him, I asked him about the future of the school. You know, if the school has any targets or goal to achieve in the short or long term. And this is what he said. So now that the school has achieved this honor, where do you think the teachers of the school would like to take the school from here, the next 5 years, 10 years?
As such, we have not any such target to achieve, except that we want to please Swami by our efforts. Whatever reward He gives, it is His special blessings on all of us. If we are able to please Swami, I think there is nothing greater than that in life for us to feel happy about.
And when will you know that Swami is pleased? How will you know that?
The moment when we are able to get this kind of results. For example, this result, I don't think that this is the first time we have achieved it. The reason being, for the first time, CBSE has taken trouble to calculate the averages. Till now, they have not done this exercise. If we go back to past, we do not know. Maybe many times we were even first. We were not aware of it. This time, Swami wanted to give us and make us know His special blessings which He has showered on us. So as a result, we came to know of it.
So, the focus is, we continue to do what we do.
We do, and with more dedication and more feeling of offering and understanding that we are just mere instruments in His hands. Finally, His will prevails. We should do our best.
That's it. So you don't have targets. You only are very clear that you will dedicate yourself.
Yes, very much. And I'm sure this is what all the teachers feel. Not just the teachers. This is the feeling of even students. They are so matured that they have only one aim in life, that they should please Swami. And in fact, that is being in every activity which they do. For people, that Swami is physically not there. But let me tell you, for us, Swami is very much there every moment with us. We have not stopped any of the activities. In fact, in every area, we have only made progress. Whatever they were doing, we are doing much more than that 5 years back, if you look. So, students experience Swami every moment of their life. And whatever they do, they have only one aim, to please Swami. Whether you take making cards for various festivals in which they have wonderful prayers to offer to Swami to seek His blessings, whether it is sports competitions, whether extracurricular activities, or the activities in the school or hostel or anything, their sole aim is to please Swami. And since they work with that kind of feeling, Swami in turn rewards them profusely.
Wonderful. And as you mentioned, the only thing that you are clear about and the students are clear about is to do everything as a dedication to Him, and He will give the results, and we know that it will be the best thing to happen to us.
Yes.
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much.
Sai Ram.
So that is what the Sai School in Prashant Nilayam lives and breathes on. The only thing that drives everything and everyone here is Swami. Loving Swami, to live Swami in their lives, and to do everything that will bring a smile on His face. That is what matters. That is all that matters. And no wonder the school today is shining as one of the stellar institutions of this great land of Bharat. We can only express our deep sense of gratitude to Bhagwan for gifting us with such precious blessings, such magnificent temples of healing, the products of which are indeed today slowly but silently working so that all of us can experience that joy, that peace, that bliss of living in the golden age with Sai in our hearts, Sai in our minds, Sai in our society, Sai in everywhere that we look around. What else more can we expect? What else can give us greater joy in life? So dear listeners, I will leave you tonight with these thoughts. It's time to wind up this segment of Thursday Life.
I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and if you have any queries or comments, as always, feel free to write to us. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you so much for being with us all through the day. And as we wind up this session, I offer my heartfelt gratitude to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity of being of some use in sharing his love and his message, and having blessed us with this opportunity of spending time thinking of him and giving us this opportunity of sanctifying our lives. We will continue this special discussion with the school alumni in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. As always, feel free to tell us what you feel. And finally, from all of us at Radio Sai, a sweet goodbye and loving Sairam from Prashanthinilayam.